Welcome. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning and Business Talk Show. My name is Debbie. Thank you so much for joining me. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, 2012, and I'm speaking to you live from the Washington, D.C. metro area to bring you information and hopefully answers to some of your questions about operating a successful wedding planning company of your very own. If you or someone you love is passionate about planning weddings, then please check out the free online resource, weddingsforaliving.com. And on that site, you'll find ideas and hopefully some inspiration about launching a wedding planning business. And that's also the place where you can listen to and download archived episodes of this talk show, Confetti. And if you need a little more hand-holding this year as you make the decision to ramp up your wedding planning business, then you should definitely, definitely check out the weddingbusinessguide.com website. And on that site, you'll find tutorials, lots of downloadable forms, and you'll also have access to live teleseminars and webinars just for wedding planners, okay? Today's show is completely interactive, and what that means is that if you have questions or comments, and I hope that you do, all you need to do is to call in, and the number you dial is 626-213-5678, and you can just listen to the show from that number, as many of you are. I see you on the phone lines. But if you have a question and you like to, or a comment or a suggestion, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know. And I'll bring you on live on the air. You can also type your questions and your comments in the online chat room, and I can see several of you are there already. Good evening. And I got a few emails about people not being able to access the chat room. So let me tell you how you do this. And I'm doing this based on instruction because I come in through the back door as the host of the show. So you go to the show page. And in order to get into the chat room, you've got to scroll down towards the bottom of the page, I believe. And there you'll see the box with all the chat information. In order for you to participate, to join in, I believe you need to have a listener account at least. I mean, if you're a show host, you just log in and as a show host. But you need to register on Blog Talk Radio. Doesn't mean that you're hosting a show, although I think that's a really great idea. And the reasoning behind that is to keep away all the spam and the spam bots that come through. So register as a listener, and then once you do that, and the way you do that is you click on the sign up button, and that should be at the top of the Confetti show page, okay? And then once you register, you can then participate in the chat, okay? Hopefully that was clear, and again, I haven't actually done that myself. But I hope that I've received several emails and concerns not being able to access the chat room, and that's just not good. Okay, so this is the first show of Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners, and it's the first show for the year. So happy New Year to everyone, and I wish you all a prosperous and really growing year for your wedding business, whatever that means to you, so that you're doing more. A little bit more than you were last year, or just making some more money, making strides with your wedding planning business, because that's always the goal. Let's see who's here. Kim is here. Happy New Year. Kiki Brothers, who I now know is not a gentleman. Happy New Year. Courtney, Laura, Gary from Gary, Happy New Year. Gary's here. I was just wondering where you were, Gary. Divine Events. Jandalyn, hello, and Daniel from the UK. Wonderful to see both of our resident gentlemen here. Donna from Baltimore, wonderful to see you. Okay, great. Everyone, I'm going to say everyone is here. I'm seeing familiar faces, and that's always good. So please, if you have a Facebook fan page for your business, please post the URL in the chat so that you can get some exposure for your wedding planning business. If you're not checking your email, which is how I notify you of the upcoming shows, then you might want to follow me on Twitter. And my handle on Twitter is my first last name, Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, Tobias, T like Tom, O, B like Bravo, I like India, A-S. Okay? And my Facebook page is Weddings for a Living on Facebook. Okay? please follow the show on Blog Talk Radio. Just sign up for a listener account. And, of course, if you know someone who would be interested in what we're gathering about, please share the information about the show with them, too. Okay, so on previous shows, I asked, you know, if you have a success to share about the progress that you're making, please share that with us, with me. It's always good. When we're moving forward. And Tony Nelson of Nelson Photographers, who is not on, I don't see Tony on the in the chat, but I don't know if she's listening. Tony Nelson runs Nelson Photographers in Florida, and she was actually awarded the 2012 Bride's Choice Award for wedding photography. So congratulations to Tony. And I believe this is the third year in the row that their company has won that award. Tony also has does a Blog Talk Radio show. So Nelson Photographers, check that out. And again, congrats to Tony. So anything that is going on in your world of wedding planning, please share that with the rest of us. All right. So for those of you that are just getting here, welcome. Again, if you have a question, feel free to post that in the chat. I'll try to keep up with it, but usually I fail miserably at that. And the number to call in, if you prefer to just speak on the phone, is 626-213-5678. Okay? And show happens every other Tuesday. Haven't gone to a weekly format yet, but it looks like that's where we're headed. But as of this point, not yet. So if you have a comment or question before the show, just go onto weddingsforliving.com, put your question on the comment form, or you can call the listener talkback line, and it's a recorded greeting, and you can have about 2 minutes to say whatever it is you want to say, because sometimes it's just easier to do that. Okay, so today is Grab Bag Tuesday, and we're going to go through questions that I've received, and some of them go back as far as November, because we actually had some specific topics that we did for confetti. The last episode covered wedding event design, and we had the folks from IWED, Institute of Wedding and Event Design, and they provide a hands-on training course if you want to learn about decor. Very comprehensive, 5 days, about 8 hours a day for 5 days in a row, Monday through Friday, and they travel from city to city. And if you go on their site, iwedglobal.com, you can find out when they're coming to a town near you. The course cost is pretty significant, but it is a pretty comprehensive course, so check that out. Okay, so let's get to the questions. And, of course, I don't profess to know everything, so anything that you have feedback on or you have a suggestion, that's what this is about, just sharing that information. So please, you know, it's all about you and sharing the information that you have. Okay, so this question came in from Kamisha, and Kamisha's question is, she says, I'm preparing for an official launch party. Is it okay to charge a fee, i.e. sell tickets, or should I do my best to not charge my guests anything? She thinks of doing a cocktail party with hors d'oeuvres and maybe a signature drink. Your advice is greatly appreciated. Okay, Kamisha, that's a great question. So she's launching her business and she wants to come out with a bang by doing a launch party. Great way to get some attention for your business, Kamisha. And is it okay to charge a fee? Of course, with a free event, it's going to be much easier to get live bodies to attend that event. But the flip side of that is when you charge a fee, people are more committed to showing up. So, and probably more quality. You're going to get more of the people who are truly interested in what it is that you're doing. The thing with a launch party as a way to get your business going is it's a nice thing to do. And if you get enough people who are interested in the event, it's a really great way to get started. But I don't think it's really going to bring you as it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to get a lot of brides interested in your service, you might do that. But what it's going to do more of is brand your business. And a lot of small businesses go that route. But what you have to remember is for most of us in this industry, we're relatively small. We don't have the budget and the resources like the big brands, like, I don't know, Martha Stewart Weddings or, you know, Coca-Cola, I always come back to that, or, I mean, you know, another great company that we see all a company that we see all over the place. You know, Nike. I always say Nike. So these are companies that have great, you know, extensive budgets and extensive resources, and they can actually get a great return by doing what's known as brand marketing. So it's sort of just in your face. They're there. They're not actually asking you to do anything specific, but they're just making it. Making the brand is out there so that you're aware of who they are. The issue when you try to do this with your wedding planning business, your local wedding planning business, it's not as effective. If your goal is to get a lot of people interested, a lot of quality leads, that's what I want to say, in your business, because it takes a lot more money and resources to do that. When you become more established and you've got a few more weddings and events under your belt, then you can do something like this. Hopefully on a more regular basis. But when you're doing a launch party, that suggests to me you're doing one big event. Now, if you've got a following, meaning you already have a list of people, a list of prospects who you interact with, a great list of vendors, this is a great way to get some attention. So if you decide to go the launch party route, just make sure you decide in your mind what it is you are hoping to accomplish. You want to invite the media. You want to invite friends and family, and of course, you want to get the attention of couples who are getting married who may potentially need what you're offering. But the issue is that everybody's not planning to get married at the same time. So it could be hit or miss. When you do your launch party, you may get a great turnout. It may not be so wonderful. We're at the beginning of the year right now, and this is the time between the holidays and the Valentine's Day, February 14th, when most of the proposals that happen throughout the year take place. So to have a launch party now for a wedding planning business is not a bad idea, because you will get the attention of a lot of brides. This is why bridal show producers host their shows at the beginning of the year, because a lot of brides and grooms, but more brides are interested in finding out more about wedding planning services in their area. So I don't want to deter you. So if you're doing a launch party, just make sure you've got it straight in your mind as to what it is you are hoping to accomplish, you know, what you want the success of the event to be. Because I don't want you to do this and then be disheartened. I always talk about that, but we're human beings, and when we have great expectations and things don't go the way we plan, it's sort of, you know, we sort of fizzle out a little bit, and I don't want that to happen. So launch party, if that's your goal and you've made up your mind, that's what you're doing, go for it. Your question, which I took a long time to get to, right, is should you charge a fee? If you can avoid it, don't. Because a launch party, to me, suggests fun and, you know, seeing what's going on. You can charge a nominal fee. And maybe offer it back in the form of, you know, a credit towards planning services. But if you can secure the location at no cost, then that really shouldn't be very difficult, because a lot of venues and sites want to show off their location. And you should be able to get the involvement of a lot of local wedding vendors who will be willing to participate and provide, you know, refreshments, drinks, because they want to show off their stuff too at little to no cost. So you want to have as little cost involved for you as possible. So it's just less stressful that way. If you want to charge again, you can. I'm not sure what that dollar amount should be. If anybody has done this, who's listening in or on the chat, you know, let me know. Let me know how that works out for you. Have you had, you know, what kind of success? What's the happy point for charging? If I were getting married and, you know, there was an event coming up and I knew there'd be, you know, an open bar, and appetizers, I'd be willing to pay $20, $25, $30 to go. Everybody may not feel that way, and maybe I'm being cheap, but, you know, if you can get people in there for that amount, then go for it. Let's see. Daniel says, I hosted and am running industry networking events. It's just as effective, and I find it costs me very little as I give vendors the opportunity to showcase their services, table decorations supplied for free by the florist, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so great point. So maybe, you know, the way around this is that you charge vendors a fee to be there. So you have it as a party, a launch party, but also like a mini exclusive bridal show of sorts. So you handpick some local vendors to set up you know, like a boutique. That's what I want to use, like a little booth within the venue. So they charge you a fee, and most vendors will be willing to do that if they're getting exposure. And then they can invite people. And this just creates buzz. It's the more people that nobody wants to go to a party when no one's there. So the more people you have, the better it is. So maybe that's the answer, is to charge the vendors the fee and make it free for the potential clients that are coming through the door. Okay? All right. Let's see. Divine Events is saying, trying to like everyone's Facebook page but can't find a like button. Can anyone help? Okay. I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying. I'm reading the chat here for those of you listening. If you post your Facebook URL, then I guess you're going to have to click and go to that page and then like, right? Am I missing something? Please clarify if that's what you're asking about. But, you know, just put, there's a Facebook fan page in here. Click on the link and, just go to the page and like. Of course, you would have to be logged into Facebook yourself. And maybe that's part of a conversation that I shouldn't even be involved in. But I hope that helps. Okay, so that's my advice to Kamisha, is to try not to charge. And if you are charging, don't make it astronomical. But, you know, try to go on the idea of charging vendors. And the signature cocktail, I like that a lot. That will definitely keep your costs down. But whatever the signature cocktail is, if it's alcoholic, please be sure to have a non-alcoholic version too. And, you know, perhaps provide the recipe, provide the mix, the cocktail recipe. That would be a nice sort of takeaway. Okay. All right. Next question. This one is from Claudia. And Claudia says, I need help on writing a contract for my business. Where would I start, or who do I need to contact to help me with writing a good business contract? Okay, great question. So if you're launching your wedding planning business, it's very important that you have a wedding planning contract in place. You don't want to get started helping someone with their wedding and not have a contract. And a lot of us get very excited, especially when it's your first client, to do that. But you don't want to, you know, don't get caught up in that. On weddingsforaliving.com, there is a sample letter of agreement, Claudia. And if you check out the... Let me see. I put some new links up. I think if you go to starting a wedding planning business on one of the links that, on the top navigation, and you click that and scroll down, there is a link that goes to the contract. It's a PDF document, and it's just a sample. The thing with a contract is, the wedding planning contract is, depending on where you are in the world, will determine what needs to be in there. So your best bet is to go see a local attorney to have him or her help you draft one. But when you go to see an attorney, usually you're paying for the time that you're there, usually. So the goal is to get started with something. And you want to go with something, a boilerplate, a basic, a draft, a template that he or she can get started with and then they can tweak. So if you go on weddingsforaliving.com, you can get a sample letter of agreement, download that, and then look through that and then use that as a starting point. The letter of agreement on that site is not comprehensive enough to get you going. You need to make sure that it follows your local laws, okay? So you can use that. If you don't want to use the sample agreement that's on Weddings for a Living, you can go to any office supply store and get a basic contract and use that as a starting point. Or if you just Google for sample contract, you'll find a basic wedding planning contract. But there are certain elements that you want to make sure are included in that contract. And sometimes you'll see contracts that are really long-winded and have all this jargon and terminology. You can do that if you choose to. I try to avoid that. The whole idea behind the contract is for me to understand and my clients to understand what we both agreed to do. This is what I, Debbie, agreed to do for you in my capacity as a wedding professional. And this is what you agreed to do, Mr. or Ms. Client, to do in as a result of that. How much you're going to pay me, when the payments are due, my contract lists what I will not do. Don't be afraid to do that. Make sure your contract says what you will not do. And again, try to stay away from all that legal terminology that nobody understands. If you make it in plain English, there's going to be less confusion for you and for them. It makes you look super smart, but it's just really confusing to a lot of people, unless your clients happen to be attorneys. And Godspeed with you on that one. So, and I'm not knocking attorneys, please. But usually, you know, they're very detailed and, you know, very specific about what they want to include. So start with something basic and then have a local attorney review that, okay? And then when you have your contract in place, it's ready to go. Because when someone contacts you, they meet with you, fall in love with you, as it were, and decide that they want you to plan their wedding, you cannot and should not delay to get the contract out to them. And I've said this many times before. It should be a day, 2 days tops to get the contract out. That's not the time to figure out what am I going to put in my contract. You know, you have a template, and then you fill in names, addresses, dates, depending on what wedding planning package you're offering. You list what your services are. You list how much you expect to be paid, when you expect to be paid, form of payment, all of those things. You know, what you're going to do if they decide to cancel, what will happen if, you know, there's an earthquake. All of those things should be in your contract, but most of it should be standard, and then you just tweak it for that particular situation. You have the contract, you print it out, you give it to your clients, they sign it first. Do not sign the contract and then hand it over to them for them to sign. They've got to look it over, sign it, give it back to you, and then you countersign it. That's the order it goes. Okay? So always have a contract in place, and there should be one ready to go, and you have no excuses because there is a sample letter of agreement or contract on weddingsforliving.com. And I use the term interchangeably, letter agreement contract. To me, same thing. Okay? So, Claudia, I hope that answers your question. Daniel says, I'm in the UK, and I got one for free through the Federation of Small Businesses and was offered through my business bank. Okay, wonderful. So that sounds like the equivalent. Federation of Small Businesses sounds like the U.S. equivalent of the Small Business Administration. So there are a lot of resources out there, guys, for you to use. And don't be turned off if you don't find something specific for weddings. You find something, because contracts are pretty much, a pretty basic, pretty similar. Find something basic and then you tweak it. Take it to your local attorney and have this person, you know, tweak that for you. And they will want to put a lot of legal stuff in because that's what they do. But you get to, you know, try to see if there's a happy medium where it's not overly confusing. Okay? All right. Okay, next question and is from Debbie. Okay, good name. And she says, I'm just starting out as a wedding planner in the UK. I came across your info and interview on referral-only service. I am really interested in this. Do you have any other articles on this topic and advice on how I can put the whole recommend a vendor for a price to my vendors? Hope that makes sense. Kind regards. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So Debbie found the article that I wrote, which is all about referrals. And the way it works is that as a wedding planner, in this instance, instead of charging the bride and the groom for your wedding planning services, you provide a free service to them. And the way you're able to provide this free service is that you have a select list of wedding vendors who you charge a fee, and you pretty much represent them. So the idea is maybe you have three or four photographers, you know, two or three limo companies, four or five caterers. And these are the people that you recommend that are local in your area. And, you know, brides and grooms come in and meet with you, whether it's in your home or whether you have a commercial space or whether you go and meet them. And you show them these recommended vendors that you have personally handpicked. You have the vendor's portfolio. So you're almost like, it's almost like you're a real estate agent. You're showing them all of what that you recommend. And again, your vendors pay a fee. So I thought this was a really great business model, and there are companies out there that are doing this. The one that I always refer to instantly is the Wedding Library, and that's originally created by Claudia Hanlon. I think there are some others involved in that now. And you can go up to the facility, their studio in Manhattan, and you go in there. You can set an appointment, but I think you can also do walk-ins. And they'll sit down and go over the wedding planning process. And you, as a bride or groom, do not pay because the vendors that they represent pay them. And it really is a great way to help maybe especially brides and grooms who do not have a budget that allows them to have a wedding planner. Of course, it's not going to be a comprehensive list because there's no way you can possibly recommend everybody in your area. But it's a really great way if you know there are some vendors that are out there that people aren't familiar with, but you have the inside track with them. And a lot of these vendors will be willing pay you if you have a lot of foot traffic, if you have a way to get rides to come to you. So the other half of this is that you have to be very creative and clever as to how rides can find you, because the way it works is that you've got to have people that know you exist. Otherwise, your vendors are not going to want to pay you if no one's coming to for you to, you know, suggest their services to brides and grooms. So the answer to your question, Debbie, is I don't have any other articles, but on my list for 2012, I have put some feelers out to have someone come and talk to us about how this business model works. Another company that does this is A Legendary Affair, and this is a company owned by, I've forgotten her name. She's on the West Coast, and she's in Manhattan Beach, in L.A., in the California area. And I went to her studio a few years ago. Really great, very cozy, and sort of like you walk around. It's almost like you're in a library, really. You just kind of look around. She asks if she can help you, and if you're, you know, you can just sort of browse, flip through portfolios, and, you know, all the marketing materials are out there. So if you're really interested in representing some really cool, great vendors out there, you've got to do two things. You've got to find vendors to represent, and you have to research them extensively. You have to check references, and you almost have to know as much about the businesses as their business as they do, because you are now a spokesperson. It's almost like you're an ad agency for them. And then you then have to present that in a, to your client, to your brides and grooms, that's appealing to them. Really is a clever way to do business. And you can do this and still run a traditional wedding planning business. And the way you do that is perhaps you offer your planning services, like your day of services. Because brides, once they, and grooms, they talk to you and they get to know you, because really it's you. You're the person that they're buying into. They will ask you to do other things for them. Deborah says the Bridal Bar in Los Angeles does that. Great, that's right. That's another great company. So this is another way to do your, you know, to run your business. More than one way to skin a cat. Oh my gosh, Chang, my mother here. But there really is. You can do whatever you choose to for your wedding planning. But gone are the days where it has to be full of planning or nothing. You don't have to have a list of packages and have brides to choose. If you decide you are drawn to one area more than anything else, then focus on that. Focus on that and be the best in that. Don't be, dissuaded. Is that a word, dissuaded? Don't be put off when you see everybody else doing the same thing. Don't think you're doing something wrong. It's trial and error, and a lot of times you will surprise yourself when you start focusing and just narrowing it on one area and doing things a different way. Okay? So, and Bridal Bar, thank you, Deborah. That's another company to talk to about how to get your business going and doing it a little differently. Okay, so Debbie, if you're listening, I hope that helps. Let me take a look over the chat. I see someone has a question on the switchboard. I'm coming to you. Kiki Brothers asks, I'm looking for unique and creative escort card ideas. Okay, great question. So your escort cards are the cards that your couples, your wedding guests will see when they first arrive at the reception facility. The escort card identifies which table they need to go to, where they have. This is a situation where your couple has assigned seating, or at least assigned tables, maybe not the specific seats. So the escort cards are the cards that are laid out at the beginning, at the entrance of the reception. The place card is when your couple decides that they specifically want to say where each person sits at that table. So I know sometimes the terms are used interchangeably, but there is a difference. So the escort cards ideas, I don't know what ideas that you have seen so far. One of my favorite has been, and I'm sure some of you have seen this, is where the escort cards are sort of dangling from a ribbon, and they have a tree set up, and the cards are sort of hanging that way. Very, very pretty, although I'm not sure how that actually works logistically, because I'm so anal. I don't know how people find their actual cards. But the key is to always have someone there, representative of your wedding planning business, to guide guests, to help with that. What other ideas have you guys seen for escort cards that are you know, for being displayed? Another one that I see in Kiki Brothers is actually where there is no escort card. There's just this huge chart that has been very artistically created, and you sort of look your name on there. You know, it's alphabetical. It's been created by someone who, like a calligraphist. Is that the right term? A calligrapher. wow, I'm just making up my own words, calligraphist. I don't think that's a word, a calligrapher. And, you know, folks look up on there, and it's just really a work of art. So those are the two ideas that come to mind for me. Anyone else have suggestions for escort card ideas? Please post them in the chat or, give me a call. Again, the number is 626-213-5678. Okay. All right, I'm going to come to the phone line. I see someone has a question. So if you're the first four numbers, let's try that. The first four numbers of your phone number is 8057. I'm going to come to you. Hi, this is Debbie, and you're live on Confetti. Who's this?
Hi, this is Joelle.
Joelle?
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi. I have a question for you. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're breaking up. I can hear you now.
Okay.
I am just starting out, and I've been networking with a lot of vendors, but I was wondering if you had any advice about marketing on wedding websites and wedding blogs, and, you know, if paying for advertising is worth it at all.
Okay. Okay, so you're starting out a wedding planning business?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your wedding planning business. What kind of services do you offer? What do you have a specialty?
I do mostly day of coordination right now, but that's mainly because that's kind of how I started with friends and family. I'm trying to get into full service and design, though. But I don't have any full service weddings yet, so I'm trying to do some photo shoots and things like that before I really get into it.
Okay. So right now you're doing day of coordination, but you would like to do full service and also design,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Yeah. Are there a lot of other wedding planning businesses in your area?
I live in Ventura, California, and so in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, there's a lot of wedding planners. But in my actual area, there's not so many. So especially not really designers, which is kind of why I'm hoping to do both.
Okay. So of the three things that you mentioned there, day of coordination, service, and design, which of those three are you really, truly most drawn to?
I'm really drawn to design, but like I said, I really kind of got into this and got experience by doing day of, and so I'm still doing day of just so that I can keep going right now, but I want to market myself as a designer eventually.
Okay, all right. So you're in a sweet spot there, Joelle, because you said that there aren't a lot of wedding planners in your area, so that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a good start. The reason I asked you, you know, where your focus is I always go this route, but what I wanted to find out is what makes you different what would a bride want to contact you? And it's important to know that, because before we can really start looking for clients, we have to be comfortable with the kind of service that we want to offer. And one of the key things that you want to do, which is actually easier said than done, is to really focus on one area. Because when you try to be all things, it becomes very difficult to market yourself because you're not quite sure which direction to go. So the first thing I would suggest is to really decide where you want to be. And based on what you just said, it sounds like it's design. But what you have to be brave enough to do is to say, it's going to be design, and I'm going to focus on that. Day of coordination may come, full service may come, but I'm not making that my focus right now. And a lot of us have a hard time doing that. We say in our mind we want to, but it's hard for us to do it because I know when you say it, it's almost like we bring up the rear. We say, I want to focus on design, but I also want to do full service day off. So my suggestion, and this is just my opinion, I don't know all there is to know when it comes to marketing, but my experience is that you've got to let go of a couple of the other things. Not meaning you won't do them, but just not make those your focus. Because as soon as you start to zone in on one area, Joelle, it will become a much, much clearer as to how you can market your business. Because if it's design, then you make it more about design. Your website will reflect that. when you speak to people, it will reflect that. And as you start talking to others, it will become clearer. Because it's hard for someone to find you if they don't know what you're really good at in our industry. Because you're not big enough to do the branding thing like the big companies. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm just, for the design, I don't have any really designed pictures or anything like that to put in a gallery at this point. So I'm trying to do the day of so that I can get the reviews, and then I'm coordinating photo shoots at the same time.
Okay.
So my first photo shoot is in February. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't want to give up the day of coordination because it's the work that I'm getting right now.
Okay. So, and the reason, again, I ask is because in order for me to perhaps provide you with suggestions for marketing, I want to know which direction to go. And again, it's counterintuitive to us as humans to do that because we don't want to let go, but it's going to be harder for you as a small business to do both. I'm not saying you have to let go of day off. You can do that, but you've got to decide if it's going to be designed, you're going to have to get there somehow. And if that means, you know, every week or several times a month, you're working, you said photo shoots, that's good. Are you doing anything related to design? Are you doing, like, creating, in what aspect of design, like centerpieces or, like, draping? Or how deep into design are we talking, where you want to be?
I mean, I'm just talking about, like, coordinating the design for everything. I'm not physically making the centerpieces or anything like that. It's just coordinating and using my vision to bring in vendors and things like that to create the event.
I see. So would you be the person that comes up with the concept? If I came to you and said, we want to get married and we want the room to look spectacular, we've got $3,000 to spend on decor, can you come up with something? Would you be able to do that?
I'd like to think so.
So would you be able to do that?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely
okay.
be able to do that.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Because believe, and I'm not picking on you and I'm not trying to be obnoxious, but in order for people to buy into you, you have to buy into yourself. That sounds really sort of cliche and guru-ish, but self-help, but what I want you to do is to be clear, because no, it's going to be harder again for you to market until you are clear about what you're doing. So, and you guys can meet me out here if you're in the chat or on the phones. If you have, and I know I'm taking a long time to answer Joelle's question, but again, when it comes to marketing a small business, you have to be able to say what it is that you're doing so that you can market it. So, you know, you don't have to do the design, and absolutely you don't have to, but so maybe you specialize in day of, but if someone comes to you and they just want you to help with the planning, but they don't want, you know, they're not focused on design, are you still willing to help them, Joelle?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So my suggestion would be is, you know, you come up with the area that you want to focus on and somehow get to tie it in, because if you don't make design the forefront of what you're doing, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. So a lot of us want to jump into marketing. I'm ready to get my business going, but you've got to take a back step and look at what it is that you want to do first. Sort of get into the what it is that I want to do. What am I want to do? How do I want to contribute to this wedding thing in my area? What do I want to be known for? And then sort of taking baby steps to get to that. So even if you want to do the design, even if you're doing day of, Joelle, you've got to get there to design. So maybe it's by June, I want to do less day off and focus more on design. Don't be afraid to turn business away. And I know you're saying, Debbie, I haven't even gotten business yet, because that's what I'm calling you about. But you've got to really focus about what it is that you want to do. And I promise you, as soon as you start to narrow it down, it'll become clearer to you. So, again, you're saying day of, but you want to do the design. So maybe you focus on day of, but you need to start meeting with vendors who are focused on design. So you've got a list of those people that can help you so that when clients come your way, that they can see that you're about design. Your website, your blog, your Facebook fan page, all of those things exude the design aspect. Your business card is very creative. And so the people who are into design are drawn to you. They can still use you for day off, but when they see how creative and how beautiful everything is, Joelle, then you begin sort of tiptoe and sort of ease your way into the design aspect. And then once you've done that, marketing for us small businesses, I mean, social media is just taken off by storm. Facebook, Twitter, yes, Debbie, I know I'm not great at it. But those things are really there to propel you. They take more time, but less money. You can do things like launch parties, but they may not have the return that you want. As someone who wants to focus on design, although I'm usually not a big fan of the bridal shows, because design is so visual, Joelle, maybe you want to think about bridal shows. That'll take a little more investment. Talk to some of the local bridal producers. I know Pamela Ann Noxon, but she's in San Diego. I don't know how far away that is. I don't think that's very close to you, is it?
No, it's pretty far.
No, I always think that California is a little itty-bitty state. It isn't. But if you go to her, are you familiar with her, the wedding party? Are you familiar with her site?
No, I'm not.
Google Pamela Ann Noxon and get some great inspiration there about her. The reason I'm sending you to her is because it's always her bridal shows are very intimate and very focused. They're designed to go after the higher end bride who is more into the who wants a little more elegance, a little more style. And that to me sounds like what you might be interested in. It's not local, but you'll kind of get the idea of how she markets and how she sets things up. So yours will be a lot less logistical, although day of is logistical, but you sound like you said you want to do the design, and they kind of sort of pull away from each other, but you've got to find a way to somehow mix them. Have I confused you terribly and not really answered your question?
Well, I was just wondering, because I've listened to a lot of your shows. I usually listen to the podcast. So I'm trying to kind of narrow it down, but I just wasn't really sure about whether or not it's kind of if I should be paying to advertise anywhere, either on Wedding Wire. I know they have a monthly fee to get your company listed at the top, or anything like that. I don't know if you have any suggestions for advertising in that way.
Because of what I've discovered in the last year, when it comes to paid advertising, I don't want to pretend like I know, because I found that because we've become such a social world that people connect with you, there are other ways to do that. If you have the funds and the budget to advertise on Wedding Wire, I say go for it. You just want to make sure you understand the statistics and how it's going to work for you. You know, how many people in your area, you said Ventura, or is it Ventura Beach?
It's Ventura.
Ventura, how many people in those area, in your area, will find you? Because it doesn't matter about exposure for everybody. You don't want everybody. You just want the people that are in your area. You want to talk to vendors. A lot of people, I say this all the time, but your professional wedding vendors will be able to send business your way. Once they understand your style and what it is you do, they can send people to you because they get what it is that you're doing. And more brides and grooms are going to vendors. They're going to the caterers. They're going to the cake person. They're going to the photographer. You need to be in their, I was going to say back pocket, but that sounds sort of weird. But you need to be great friends with them so that when they recognize someone who needs your services, they can send that prospect to you. And the only way they can recognize the person that needs your services is when you make it clear the kind of service that you offer. You're in an enviable position because you said there aren't a lot of wedding planners. So maybe you can afford to do a lot of these different things. But I just want to make it super easy for you so that you get more of the type of business you want. Because if you want to do design and you're getting a steady stream of people who only want your logistical help in doing the day of, I believe you get different if that's not where your passion lies. It's all weddings, but there's a special type of wedding that it sounds like you want to work on. So talk to your vendor. Definitely to Wedding Wire and whoever the account contact is, and tell them what it is that you're doing. Anytime you can verbalize how it is you want your wedding planning business to be, it's easier for people to help you and direct traffic to you. You say, I do all weddings in Ventura, full service, day of, design. You don't stand out that way. But when you claim an area as yours, Joelle, it's going to be easier. People will remember that. I've got a wedding planner, and she's really focused on design. You need to speak to her. That way, when the client comes in to them and they don't really care about the look, they just need someone to be there that they can bark orders to, maybe that's not the client that you want. It's business, but that's not the client that you want. You want to do the jobs that are going to get you, which give you the opportunity to show off your design skills so that you can add photos to your portfolio, so that you can get the testimonials that you need. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I have a feeling I didn't really give you the answer you were looking for, but I really believe coming up for this year, you have to put the focus on what it is that you want to do and be clear with you, and then you can start marketing your business. If it takes a few days or maybe a few weeks to sort of get it firm in your head, don't be scared to shave off. Maybe you get rid of full design, full service. And I'm not suggesting that you do, but maybe you get rid of that and just focus on day of and design. Right there, you sort of started clearing your thoughts already. You don't have to worry. If it's full service, your client, you know, your vendors don't have to send them to you because maybe that's not your focus right now. It involves more hand-holding, kind of that, for example.
Okay.
All right. Will you keep me posted as to how things work out?
Great. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, please. Please do. And I hope I helped. I know sometimes I have a way of sort of going off on a tangent, but it's really hard to market a small business when you're not sort of zoned in. It's just much harder to do. It can be done. It certainly can be done. It's just going to be a little harder to do. But Wedding Wire, by all accounts, and they're growing by leaps and bounds, may be the way to go. If you belong to association too, talk to them. I know Association of Bridal Consultants has a system in place where you can get leads as a consultant. And when I first started my business, that was invaluable to me. I got a lot of clients that way because it's all based on zip code. And again, if you don't have a lot of clients and a lot of wedding planners in your area, you may be the grand poobah of weddings anyway. And then, you know, start writing articles, put content on your website so that people get to know your name and become familiar with you, and then start reaching out to the media. But they will find you once you start zoning in and you sort of do something that's different and sets you apart from everybody else. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joelle. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to take you off the air, but please continue to listen in, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right. I don't know if anyone – let me take a look at the chat and see if anyone has questions. Daniel says, check out Martha Stewart Weddings for escort card ideas. Yes, definitely. And Debbie says, holding wedding shows and getting a page in a magazine and selling advertising space. Oh, okay. Debbie didn't say that. Okay. Oh, you're addressing – see what happens? I'm reading the chat and just not really – just can't – okay, I'm ignoring that. All right. I just email a few sample contracts and sample business plan for wedding planner. That's Martha. Martha, hi, Martha. I didn't quite understand your question. Gary says you are the wedding Zen master. Gary, who was that directed at? Was that because I said I sounded all guru-like? Maybe so. Enchanted Brides Show has their shows listed on the website. Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. Pamela's last name. Oh, Debbie, Pamela Noxon. N like November, O, X is an X-ray, O, N like November. Pamela Ann Noxon. She does the bridal, I think it's called the bridal party. Has some really clever themes for the bridal show. And really design oriented. I love it. Love it. Check out Wedding Wire website. They also have great ideas. Okay, great. Thank you, Martha. And Martha, thank you for the advice you're giving to her on the phone. It's helping me to get organized. Okay, great. I'm glad to help. Thank you, Martha. What was your specialty, Debbie? Me? This is where I failed in my wedding planning business. When I opened up Down the Aisle, if that's what you're asking me, Daniel, I didn't have a specialty. I was just so darn excited to, you know, just start planning weddings, and I jumped in. And when I do this over, which I will, for my business, it will be high-end home weddings. That's my passion. But I did not specialize. But what did it for me, I believe, was because I had a commercial space in a quaint area of town, Tacoma Park, for those of you that are familiar with Washington, D.C., it was really – people came in. And, you know, it was really weird at first. I kept wondering, why do people keep coming in? But I did some consignment dresses. I did bridal accessories and invitations. And those added services helped propel my business. But I was getting a lot of questions, Daniel, when people asking me, you know, how do I do this? How do I set up my own wedding business? And that's when I started gravitating towards the teaching aspect. But when I do this again, it will be specialized home, high-end home weddings. I will not be a general wedding planner. I did destination weddings. I did day of. I did two full-service weddings. Hated it. And I realize now that when I do this again, I will have a staff of people, because it's hard to be the business. I didn't get to take a weekend off. If I was sick, thank God it didn't happen. There was no one to really fill in. I mean, I had people to help on the wedding day, but really I tried to do everything myself. Crazy, 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 crazy. So for me, I didn't have a specialty. Down the aisle did not have a specialty. I say did not because I am not actively planning weddings. I planned one wedding at the very early part of 2011. But when it comes back again, that will be my specialty because I realized that I can just sort of zone in on that and just forget everything else. It's not for everyone. But for those people that want to get married in this area and have a wedding in their home or at an estate or something like that, I want to be the person that they contact. And hopefully people outside of my area will like me too because it's that specialized. So I hope that answers your question, assuming that question was directed at me. Okay, all right, we've got a few minutes left. And so please post your Facebook fan page URL so that everyone can like your page before we leave. And I want to read this question from Sandra. Sandra says, in listening to you a couple of months ago, I'm certain my niche is day of services. I'd go a step further and say directing the ceremony is my passion. I'm big on etiquette. I live in Dallas. Churches are everywhere. Would you advise I use churches as a target marketing strategy for my business? Thanks, Debbie. Great question, Sandra, and I would say absolutely yes. You've got it. You've zoned in on what you know and what you love. I think that's a really great specialty. So she's taken day of to another level. So she's really focused on the ceremony. And if you have a lot of churches in your area, then, you know, even better. Just be careful. I know I was going to say, is it house of worship, place of worship? You can tell how often I'm worshiping. Have their own person on staff to do that, and it can sometimes be a real tug of war. If any of you have had to deal with someone who refuses to relinquish the wedding rehearsal because this is their job, you know what I'm speaking about. I mean, their interest is to protect that church, to protect that organization. But if there are a lot of churches in your area that do not have a resident person, you could become that resident person. It's almost like you're the person that goes from church to church, you're familiar with their standards. And if you're the etiquette person, you could probably get a lot of attention just for that alone. That's a great angle for the media that could probably spin off into a whole different thing. So when people have questions about what's the right thing to do, it's almost like you become the Emily Post for that area. So Sandra, I love that idea, and I think that's a really, really great way to spin your business. Remember, that when you pick a niche, you're not limiting yourself. Believe me, believe me, believe me. You're going to get more business because you will attract a certain kind of client. Remember, you don't want another day job, hopefully. You want to run a business that you're passionate about. Why on earth would you want to work with people that are not passionate about the things that you're passionate about, who are not drawn to the things that you're drawn to? So I think if you're going to do this wedding planning business thing, jump in and do it with what you're drawn to. Just make sure that there are enough people in your area that want the service, though. Otherwise, you know, that's going to backfire. You're going to say, Debbie, you don't know what you're talking about. So you got to do some research. But in that fact-finding stage, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn a lot about what's going on in your area. And talk to the professionals that are already doing business. They'll tell you what brides want. And if you can fill that need, if you can fill that spot, if you can scratch that itch, or is it itch that scratch that itch, you're going to do well. You're going to do really, really well. Okay? Debbie, I think that's Deborah that says, yeah, they're very protective. Yeah, people in the churches are very protective when you come in as the wedding planner and want to try to run the show. And I've learned to eat humble pie and just sit my butt in the back if I have to, you know, fuming on the inside. But just letting them do their thing and cringing every time they do something wrong. But, you know, If I'm doing a wedding and the ceremony is, and this person wants to take control, that's fine. The key is when you're dealing with a person like that is that you've got to connect with them before that wedding rehearsal. You sort of have to pander to them a little bit. You've got to sort of stroke their ego and find out what it is that they want, understand their personality, and then you can adapt to that because you're in their house. Literally, you're on their turf, and you've got to do what it is that they want you to do, what they say is acceptable. Okay, so just learn, and part of what we do is we just work with people. We work with complete strangers, right? Isn't the goal to turn strangers into clients? So we as wedding planners do that anyway. So working with someone who's not as agreeable as we would like at the church should really be the least of your worries. You just got to figure out what works. And you soon figure it out. You soon figure out, you know, what to say and what not to say. Because I, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve, and a lot of what I'm thinking comes out of my mouth, and I've learned to hold my tongue. And you'll learn to do the same thing too. Okay? All right. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up. We've got about a little over five minutes. I had one other question. Did anyone else have any other escort card ideas beyond, you know, what I mentioned? And I think it was Daniel that said, you know, go check out the Martha Stewart weddings. Anyone else done here done anything really creative with an escort card? That's a really great idea, a great question, Kiki Brothers. I really wish I knew your first name, Kiki Brothers. I know you are a female. When the show, each of these shows, of course, on Blog Talk Radio are available on Blog Talk Radio, but if you go on WeddingThroughTheLiving.com, each of the shows exists there. So please feel free to post your comments there. So if something comes to you, you know, after the show, or something that you didn't get a chance to say during the show, please comment and keep the conversation going that way. Okay? All right. Jandolyn had a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's Jandolyn's question? Can you answer really quick? Any suggestions about writing up a business plan? Oh, good question. And I'm not going to even pretend. I did not write the business plan. I didn't write a business plan. So I'm the person to tell you what to do, Jandolyn. So bad Debbie. There is a book that I refer to, and I know that's not the answer you're looking for. And it's I'm looking over at my bookshelf. It's Ron Abrams. I think it's A-B-R-A-M-S. There's no H, I don't think. And she has a six wedding business plan in a day. Business plan in a day. Yeah, I'm looking at the book right now. Talk to Jandolyn. I'm not sure where you're located, but you want to talk to, if you have local SCORE office, Society or Corporation of Retired Executives. I think that's what it stands for. S like Sam, C like Charlie, O-R-E. They should be able to help you with getting a business plan together. And it doesn't have to be anything detailed. It doesn't have to be long-winded unless you're applying for a loan. But it's a business plan is a great idea. And it's a way of getting your thoughts on paper. And it's a document that should be changing all the time. I write a lot of notes. I have a notebook with all of my dreams and hopes and goals for the wedding, for my wedding business. And I guess I'm using that as a pseudo business plan. It's not the right way to do a business plan. And, you know, now as I say that, let me make a note. Maybe I need to get someone on here to help us with that. But if anyone here has written a business plan, I am envious of you right now, because I think of it and I just go in the complete opposite direction. So, Jandolyn said you're meeting with SCORE tomorrow. Great. Great, great, great. So please share with us what you've learned. You know, it would be helpful. And for me, it's something that I'm, you know, ashamed to say that I sort of run away from. Martha says, I emailed you a sample of a business plan, something to help start. Oh, thank you, Martha. Thank you very much. Good. I appreciate that. See, I don't know everything, guys, and I'll tell you, try to be as transparent as possible. There are a lot of things that I sidestepped, but it will force me to get it together. Jandolyn, please let us know how this works out. Okay, so I'm going to really wrap it up, and I want to see you. I was going to say I want to see you in 2 weeks. I sound like the doctor. I hope to see you in 2 weeks, which will be the 24th of January. Oh my gosh, January is whizzing by. Please check out Wedding Business Guide. Currently, it is really affordable to join the site. That is going to change in a little bit. So if you need a little bit more handholding with your wedding business, just check out the site, weddingbusinessguide.com. But of course, weddingthroughliving.com is always there for you, too. You'll find some information there, too. And, of course, on the talk show here. So I want to thank everyone for being here. I always enjoy our time together. Please like these Facebook page URLs that are on here. Please comment on the show. Share the information that you find here, or, you know, the links, the connections that you make. Share them with others, and please invite to join us. So I hope to see you in 2 weeks. As always, lots of love and success. Go out there and make lots of money. I'll see you guys soon. Thanks so much for being here.